In the few minutes we have to share the scripture together, I wanted to kind of primarily talk to you guys today. And I wanted to back up in that story and in the music and spend a little bit more time talking about Samuel and the call that God placed upon his life. It's interesting to know how Samuel came to be. Samuel's mom was named Hannah. And Hannah grew up in a time when the value of a woman was centered around whether or not she could have a child. In many cultures today, it's still what values women, whether or not they have the ability to have a child. Of course, we know that there's so much more to a woman than just birthing a child. But in that era of time, it was all about childbearing. And Hannah could not have a child. And she prayed to God over and over again that God would give her a child. And for years and years, during her young age of childbearing, she had no child. And it got so bad that Hannah had no child that all of the other women made fun of her and accused her of being sinful because God would not bless her with a child. It was terrible. It was terrible the way she was treated while she was not able to have a child. And so one day, Hannah found herself at the temple praying. And she was so distraught over the criticism. She was so broken up because she had not had the experience of birthing a child. She was so humiliated and embarrassed in herself because she could not bear a child that she found herself on the altar at the temple praying to God. And in fact, it was noted by the people around that she was kind of out of control praying before God, crying and weeping and just pouring out her heart to God, hoping that God could allow her to bear a baby boy. In fact, some who saw her praying there, falling on her face before God at the temple, thought she was drunk, thought she was drinking in the middle of the day and out of control. She was so consumed with this matter of being able to have a child. And so as a result of her prayer before the Lord, in a matter of time, God granted her prayer request to give her a child named Samuel. Now, Hannah had made a deal with God. And she said, God, if you give me a child, I won't even keep the child. I will give him right back to you. And so God answered her prayer and kept the deal. And sure enough, Samuel was born. By the way, Hannah's prayer request to God and giving her child back to the Lord is not a prayer that just Hannah's prayed. It's a prayer we all should pray. All of our children that God gives us are to be given back to the Lord, to be given to Him to raise and to care for and to grow and to be nurtured into the children that these children are becoming. But sure enough, Hannah became pregnant. And she bore a son named Samuel. And the Bible says in the story that when Samuel was a baby, she nursed him and she raised him. But then at about 2 years old, when he was weaned and able to be fed normal food, she kept her promise to God and she took him down to the temple to be raised in the temple. Can you imagine? Some of you have little brothers and sisters. Can you imagine taking a two-year-old child and delivering him to the temple to be raised by Eli? Can you imagine giving up your child so that he could be raised in the Lord's house? But Hannah kept her promise, and she brought Samuel to Eli, the priest, to raise him. Now, it's curious in the story that Eli was the priest before God. He was ministering in the temple. And Eli had two sons, and Hophnias and Phinehas were bad, bad, bad young men. They were horrible. They were abusing the matter of the temple. They were abusing the people. They were doing all manner of evil things. And Eli had raised these boys, and from all purposes, looking into the story, had failed as a father. Now, we can't lay all of the story off on Eli, because as boys grow up and they become men, they make their own choices. But There was certainly a consequence in Eli's life, as you follow the rest of the story, that he had raised bad, bad children. And so now, coming into his life at a later age, while his children, his own children, are being so terrible, God gives him this son to raise in the temple. It's confusing. Why in the world would God use Eli, who's proven to be an unfit parent, who's proven to be an unfit father, to raise this boy Samuel, who would become a great leader of the Lord? And honestly, we can't quite put all of that together. I'm certainly not suggesting that we tie it all together, but it's a curious way that God worked. And so here comes young Samuel and his mom bringing him and moves him into the temple to be raised by Eli. Now it says every year when Hannah came to have her religious activity at the temple, every year she would come and see her boy. And he was 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old. And in fact, it says in the Bible that every year she would bring him what's called a new ephod. An ephod was a religious robe that the priest wore. It was a little long robe with a belt around it, and she would make him a new one every year. And can you imagine little 3 and 4 and 5 year old Samuel in the temple with his cute little, robe on, practicing the activity of the priesthood, doing the sacrifices and the religious practice. And so she stayed in his life, but she didn't get to see him every day, but she would come and visit him every year. And so that was the relationship that Eli and Samuel had. Year after year, he would grow. And the story is told, and you sung and spoke about it in the musical for a moment. The story is told that when Samuel was, we don't know exactly how old, but let's say he was about 10 or 11 years old, age of some of you guys. Let's say he was about 10 or 11, maybe 12 years old. The story is told that Samuel was laying in his bed at night, and he hears a voice calling him. And he thinks that it's his spiritual father, Eli. And so he gets up and goes in and says in the middle of the night, "Eli, what do you want?" Well, he wakes Eli up. And Eli says, "I didn't say anything to you. Go back to sleep." First time he probably said, "Go back to sleep, boy. You're waking me up." But then again, Samuel goes and lays down in his bed, and he hears the voice again. And he gets up and he comes to Eli, and Eli says, "What do you want? What are you asking me for?" And Eli says, "Go back to bed." And he goes a third time, and he wakes up, and he hears this voice calling him again, and he goes back the third time, and he says to Eli, "I know you called me. What do you want?" And at that time, Eli figured out it was not just some dream he had, but likely and pretty certainly it was the voice of God talking to Samuel. So right here, you have to ask the question, how do you know when the voice of God speaks to you? Well, here's what I would suggest to you young people and everybody that's listening today, that when God speaks, you clearly know it. He may speak in our heart and our inside, our heart voice. He may speak through our parents. He may speak through that hymnal that some of you got, through music and worship. He certainly speaks through His printed word, His written word. He speaks through our Sunday school class or our children's worship or in big church. He speaks in all kinds of ways. But ultimately, He speaks in our spirit, and we begin to know it's a different voice that speaks than the voice of circumstance all around. And so back to the story real quickly. Eli told Samuel that if you hear the voice again, wake up and say, "Yes, Lord, what would you have for me to do? Yes, Lord, how would you want to speak to me?" And so Eli told Samuel that, and Samuel went back and sat down or laid down in his bed and drifted off to sleep as best we can tell. And sure enough, the voice comes the fourth time. And this time Samuel woke and said, "Yes, Lord, speak." And so God began to speak to Samuel as a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy. And he began to give him a prophecy of what was to come. Now what a prophecy is is a word, a message, where God gives to one, to in this case Samuel, who would then in turn have the responsibility to speak for God of what would be coming next. And so can you imagine, as a 10, 11-year-old boy, Samuel is being entrusted with a message from God. And by the way, if you read further in the story, you'll see that the message that God gave Samuel was a harsh message, specifically directed at Eli, the one who had raised him. And so the next morning, Samuel wakes up and Eli comes to him and says, "Well, did God speak to you?" And Samuel says, "Yes." And he said, "Well, Samuel, what did he say?" And Samuel didn't want to tell him because he loved Eli. But because he had learned in the middle of the night that when God speaks, that you must respond, you must deliver the message, Samuel, with great courage, told Eli that you are going to be held in consequence. You are going to suffer the consequence of raising these two sons. It's not going to go well for you. And so Samuel had to deliver a hard message, his very first prophecy. You go forward in the story and see that Hophnias and Phinehas, Hophnias, I practiced that all morning, Hophnias and Phinehas came to their untimely demise, and the story goes on from there. And Samuel even watched Eli fall over backwards at the news that his sons had died, and he broke his neck and he died, and it was a horrible, tragic experience. But here is the part of the story that is positive for each one of you and for all of us here today, that Samuel became the leader that God intended for him to be. He wasn't even going to be born until his mom prayed that God would give a son. And God would deliver Samuel to the temple to be raised into the spiritual leader that would be responsible for the prophecies of God over and over and over again. And this is the part of the story that relates to you and to all of us, but especially to you who are younger here today. I want you to know that God calling a 10-year-old boy to be a spokesman for God, to be a prophet for God, is not just a one-time event for one ancient story and one ancient character named Samuel. God is in the process of calling young people to serving Him even today and even right here. And God could be calling you. In fact, He is calling you. He is constantly talking to you. He is constantly communicating with you. And He wants you to know how much He loves you. He wants you to know His Son Jesus. He wants you to know how to have a personal relationship with His Son Jesus. And He wants you to have the life that He's intended and planned for you. It's also important for us to know that when God is constantly calling us, your responsibility is to be just like Samuel and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to do. However you want me to lead as a spiritual young person, I'm ready to do it. I'm nervous, I'm scared, I don't know if I have all the skills and tools, but Lord, I am trusting you." Even this morning, young people, God may be calling you to be a mission. God may be calling you to be a missionary in a foreign country. Next weekend, we're going to be having a missionary to India. Reginald Benjamin, my good friend, come and share and be with us and tell us all about the work in India. It's an adventurous land in the nation of India. Our Heavenly Father may be calling you to go to another land, another country, to learn another language, to speak to a group of people that don't know about God. He may be calling you there. He may be calling you to be a pastor or a ministry leader in the church, to take on that job, to take on that vocation and serve the Lord from the church, just as Samuel did when he grew up in the temple and he grew up wearing those cute little ephods and took it very seriously, the service of the Lord in the church. God may be calling you to a vocation in the workplace. He may be calling you to be a doctor. He may be calling you to be a lawyer. He may be calling you to be a school teacher. He may be calling you to be an accountant. He may be calling you to be a businessman. He may be calling you to all manners of vocational service. And however God has gifted you, the dreams and desires of His heart, of your heart and His heart, He's put inside of you to be able to be the kind of doctor, lawyer, teacher, minister, whatever you might be, and do it with all of your heart and all of your life for Him. Even right now, at your young age, God is shaping inside of you what He plans for you to be in the days to come. And even right now, you can be certain in your heart that you're going to be the kind of person that would make Samuel proud. Be the kind of person as a leader that would make your parents proud. Be the kind of person, more than anything, that would make God proud because you followed after Him. And so I want to challenge you at that matter, not to just remember the music, but when you sing the music again, because it'll always be in your memory, think about that call of God upon your life. And when it's time for you to be woken up in the middle of the night, be ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready, whatever You want me to do." Here's what I want us all to know today, young people and everyone as well. I want us all to know that God will call. He will call. He will call on children. He will call on adults at the youngest of age to the oldest of age. Why do we know that? Because God is in the business of revealing Himself to the earth. The fact that He made you, the fact that He placed you very purposefully in the life that you're in, indicates that you are not to be left alone to try to guess how to live the life that God has put you in. Rather, He has put you in the life you've lived to guide and to encourage and to bring you to the place of His purpose that is also good for you. He will call. Secondly, we only have one response and one responsibility, to simply listen and respond. Now, we don't have to do anything special. We don't have to, you know, be smarter than the average bear. We don't have to, you know, do good things for the Lord in that regard. We just simply need to respond. If God's calling you to know Jesus in a personal way, it's just simply for you to respond and say yes to Jesus. If He's calling you to the vocation you're in, to do it as unto the Lord, whether it is working in a simple job or something that's more complex, to be all you can be representing Jesus, representing God as you serve. God will call. It's our place to listen and respond. And thirdly, and young people, this is important for you to hear as well. When you say yes to God, and God gives you His purpose for your life, you will do great things for Him. You will amaze the world as you serve Him. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for us as we nurture these children into the call of God upon us.